It's good to be back in New Hampshire. I've been gone for 25 years. And got up this morning, get a little fresh air, went out to the street, and I happened to look on the back of Steve's truck and saw the license plate. And I had forgotten the motto of the license plate, live free or die. And I thought, you know, that's a Christian motto, not just a political motto. And every car in New Hampshire has it. And if they just knew what it really meant, they would take it to heart. Live free in the freedom of Christ,
amen.
Or die and go to hell.
That's right.
It's on every car. Think about that when you're driving around town. Now we're going to look at Psalm 84 this morning. Psalm 84. As Steve mentioned, I love paper. And when the kids would see me coming into class and I was waving my paper, they'd say, oh no, another lesson. I said, I love the smell of paper in the morning. And so, unlike a couple of you men or ushers or whoever like to do that, pass these out. I like to put the, one for both sides. I like to put the text and some notes on paper for everybody, because I know some people like to take notes, but other people don't like to take notes. Other people must have a photographic memory. And I myself have a photographic memory. You know what a photographic memory is, don't you? One that needs developing. So, yeah, that's me. So, we're looking at Psalm 84 today. I love the Psalms.
Thank you.
They teach us so much. And we're just going to hone in and focus on one, Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow, or you might say barn swallow, up here. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord my God. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing would he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts you. I've titled this psalm, The Heart That's Set on Pilgrimage, or Hearts Set on Pilgrimage. You know what a pilgrimage is? It is a journey, especially a long one, made to some sacred place as an act of religious devotion. There are plenty of famous pilgrimages, like the one to Lourdes, and I don't need to go into that. The one that we had in Spain was to Santiago de Compostela, and there is a trail that leads from southern France all the way across the top of Spain to the Atlantic coast where this town Santiago is. And it's a famous European pilgrimage, and thousands and thousands of people take it. And then there's the one to Mecca. I'm sure you've heard about that one. There's a lot of pilgrimages out there. But here's the question. Are you on a pilgrimage? Is your life headed somewhere? Where are you going? Or are you just satisfied with the status quo, kind of living a stagnant life? We might call it spinning our wheels, or some of us might call it circling the drain. Yeah. But there's a song in a psalm that expresses a spiritual blessing on those who have set their hearts on pilgrimage, and here it is, this psalm. And there is a blessing on those who set their hearts on pilgrimage. What is a spiritual pilgrimage? We ask ourselves. And a spiritual pilgrimage is to have a direction, to have a destination that nothing will be able to distract us from, to be on the road, to be moving forward, going out with a purpose. What's the destination, then, of our pilgrimage? And if you look through this psalm, you see in verse 1, it's called God's dwelling place. That's where we're on the road to. In verse 1 and 10, it's called the Lord's courts. Verse 3, it's called where God's altar is. And in verse 10, God's house. This is where the pilgrimage will end. This is where we're headed. Now, some of you may have different translations, Bibles that you like or prefer or read. So I just made a list there of some of what the other translations say. But all of them basically say that we ought to be on a road trip, that we ought to be on pilgrimage. We ought to be headed somewhere. And the context of Psalm 84 refers us to a pilgrimage route that the Jews were going up to, and they were going up to the temple of God in Jerusalem. But we might call this, as Christians, Route 66. Anybody know about Route 66? It's following the 66 books of the Bible as we travel on this route, where we're headed to our spiritual pilgrimage destination, God's house. God's house. 66 books of the Bible. And there is a hymn that describes the Christian's pilgrim journey. This one refers to what the Jews were going on as they headed up to Jerusalem every year. And you know, in the book of Psalms, there are a certain group of psalms that are the psalms of ascent that they would sing to each other as they moved along the road going up to Jerusalem. But this one is a song that we Christians can sing. And we sing this. Some of you may know this old hymn. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. That's, you know that song. That's the pilgrimage song for Christians. We're on a journey. We have a direction. We have a destination. We're on a journey. So, as we look at each one of these verses as we go through Psalm 84, in our busy, noisy, fast-paced, trouble-filled world, how does a person set his heart on pilgrimage? If verse 5 says, those are blessed who have their hearts set on pilgrimage, how do we do that? And so here's some helps as we go through this psalm of how we set our hearts on pilgrimage. Verse 1, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. Some of you may remember the song. How lovely is your dwelling place, Almighty God. How many of you know that? Yeah. There's a yearning deep within my soul. That comes out of this verse. But this is our imagination. You could call this imagination. How lovely is your dwelling place? How do I know what it looks like? I've never seen it. Have you ever seen it? So how do we imagine what God's dwelling place looks like? We envision it. Each of us has an idea of what it might be like. I remember when I was a kid, I asked my mother, if I die, when I die, will I be able to take my cars to heaven? I had a vision of what heaven would be, playing with my cars in heaven. Each of us have a vision of what heaven might be like, but what is your vision about what heaven might be like? Does it come from biblical principle? What?
So what did your mother say?
I was hoping nobody would ask that. But I'm glad when people do, because she gave me this answer. When you get to heaven, if you still want your cars, I'm sure that you can have them. And now I don't even have the cars anymore. I want something else. Thanks for asking. Okay, and verse 2, that's what our vision is. How do we imagine heaven? This will help us on our spiritual pilgrimage if we have an imagination about what heaven is like. And we have to make sure we get that out of the Bible. Verse 2, my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. This is satisfaction. Where does your heart and soul yearn for, cry for? What energizes you? People are energized by different things. What does your heart yearn for? My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. That's what I want. That's where I want to be. My heart and my flesh, whatever that means, cries out for the living God. Verse 3, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallows a nest for herself where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Now, have you ever had a child or an adult ask you, are you going to be animals in heaven? How many of you ever had that question asked? Have you ever thought that question? And some people say, no, we're just going to be playing harp, sitting around and that kind of thing, you know, in heaven. You know, the Bible is full of answers if we just read it. If we just read it. And somehow, this gives me an indication that there might be at least birds in heaven, if not other kinds of animals. Creation. This is creation. Does the creation itself convince you of God's greatness or His goodness as He reveals Himself through it? Do you take the telescope and look up at the universe and are fascinated by God's creation? Do you take the microscope and look at God's intricate creation and you're fascinated by what God has made? This helps us along our journey. Along our pilgrimage, where we're headed and thinking about the wonders that God has made, creation. Verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house, they are ever praising you. This you might call concentration. And as you read through the Psalms and other passages in the Bible, we have to really look at each section and try to figure out, what is God trying to tell us here? What is he trying to tell me here? And by this one, I think maybe he's talking about concentration. Is my daily focus, is your daily focus on God, my constant purpose to praise and glorify his name? They are forever praising you. And as I'm walking down the street, I might praise him that this thing hasn't happened to me, or that you have blessed me, or I praise him for all kinds of stuff. I praise him for what he's doing in my life, in my family, those kinds of things. But I'm concentrating on God and his working in my life and trying not to be distracted by things that are happening around me that I probably shouldn't be thinking about or are not that noteworthy. really, in God's economy. So concentration, am I trying to concentrate on what God is doing in and around me? Verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. You might call this devotion. Devotion. Is my heart, is your heart set, devoted, resolute, determined to follow God all the way home, all the way to his home? Is your heart set on pilgrimage, or is your heart set on vacation? I mean, fill in the blank. What's your heart set on? Deep in your heart, is it set on pilgrimage to our eternal home? Blessed are those who have their hearts set on pilgrimage. That's a blessing that God will give us if our hearts are pointed in that direction and not so many times misdirected. Verse 6, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. Well, this is, might call this interpretation. The valley of Baca was a very, very dry place. We might call it Death Valley. Those who are even walking through something like Death Valley, an experience or what's going on around you that feels like the desert or Death Valley, God makes it a place covered with pools, a place where springs of water come up. You might be right in the middle of that terrible, hot, depressing desert, and God comes and just gives us a fresh drink of cool water and makes springs appear on our journey, on our pilgrimage to our home. That's how I should interpret it. That's how I should interpret what's going on around me. Verse 7. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. This is might be called destination. Does your ultimate destination begin with appearing before God in Zion? That's where it's going to end up. That's, and from strength to strength, go on. You know the hymn, Soldiers of Christ to Christ. Soldiers of Christ, arise. From strength to strength, go on, wrestle and fight and pray. How many of you know that one? Okay. Comes right from this psalm. A lot of our music comes right out of the Bible. And so I teach a course on Bible marking. And so I've got little marks in there. So there's a hymn, there's a chorus, there's a song, comes right out of the Bible. A lot of fun. You can open up your Bible, almost sing through this and other passages. From strength to strength, go on in our destination. It might be two steps forward and one back. Another two steps forward and another back. But the progression is to our destination from strength to strength, because it is God who's going to give us the strength to make it through on this pilgrimage. Verse 8. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Might call this conversation. I'm having a conversation with God. Do I continually commune with the Lord God Almighty? Now I remember my father, I can remember many of his prayers because he always prayed the same prayer. And it was only at mealtime. I never heard my father pray apart from mealtime, and it was always the same rote prayer. In my conversation with God, is it vain repetitions like the New Testament says? Or is it actual communication with the God of the universe? And I think, well, you know, God's interested in millions of people. Look at you're in the airplane and you look out the airplane and you're flying over a giant city and you say, how is God having conversations with all those people? How can I expect them to be listening to me and my problems and my concerns? Do I have an intimate conversation with God continually? Me, apart from all those other millions of people? Hear my prayer, O Lord God. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. And then verse 9, look upon our. Uh-oh, it changed from a singular, you know, my personal needs to our situation as a church, as a family. So he goes to that corporate level as well. Look upon our shield, O God, and look with favor on your anointed one. What? Here's a petition. Do you ask God for special favors? Do you feel anointed? What does that mean? Do you feel anointed? Look at that verse in 1 John 2:27 that's closer to the bottom of the page. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Do you feel anointed? You are. You are. And you look at some people and you say, boy, that person can't be anointed. Are we anointed if we're in Christ? Wow. Verse 10. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand. Oh, here goes another song. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. How many of you know that one? Boy, that's just full of songs, isn't it? Wow. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper or a doorstop in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Avocation, my job. Is service to God the highest calling you could ever think of or desire? Or is it climbing up the corporate ladder and we have a position or we have a degree behind our name or we have some other thing? What is your avocation? What do you choose as the highest calling you could ever think of or desire? Well, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God, just letting people in and out, or maybe even a doorstop, than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Now, I've seen some pretty beautiful tents. And you have to think about when this was written. I remember going downstairs in the Army Museum in Madrid, Spain, and they had a captured Bedouin tent. And it was huge, and it was beautiful inside. It looked like a house. It had carpets and pillows and all kinds of nice things. That's what he's talking about here. I would rather just be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in those beautiful, luxurious other places, but they're wicked. But they're wicked. 11. For as the Lord is the sun and shield, the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from them, from those whose walk is blameless. This we might call protection. Do you trust the Lord's protection and provision in all circumstances of life? Is he protecting you no matter what you're going through? Is he providing for you no matter what you have or don't have? No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Uh-oh, here's another song. Jesus is my morning sun. How many of you remember that one? Jesus is my morning sun. There's another one. You can make up your own songs. And you go through, you figure out a special verse that means something to you. Sing it. Maybe be able to go on record with it. You still have records? He is the sun and their shield, and he bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Verse 12. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man, the one, who trusts in you. This is the condition. What is your mental, emotional, spiritual condition? Do you constantly feel blessed to know and be trusting in God? Blessed is the man who trusts in you. Well, have to be able to get some new glasses the day before I got on the plane to come here, and it's a little hard to read. But there are other religions that have other destinations that people are going on pilgrimages to. I mentioned a couple of them before. Lourdes, Santiago de Compostela in Spain, Mecca for the Muslims. But why do they go on these pilgrimages? To get some kind of brownie points? To get years off purgatory? To seek a quiet time of reflection? Seeking for deeper spirituality? To seek penance or forgiveness? We don't want to go on pilgrimage as a tourist. Know why you are on pilgrimage. Listen to this. If some things do not happen as they are scheduled, Lord, may I remember that I'm a pilgrim and not a tourist. If I should get tired and inclined to become short-tempered, Lord, may I remember that I'm a pilgrim and not a tourist. If my meal in a foreign country may not be to my particular liking, Lord, may I remember that I'm a pilgrim. I'm just passing through. I'm not a tourist. If any delay should occur and I should become anxious, Lord, may I remember that I'm a pilgrim and not a tourist. If some other pilgrim is making noise so that I cannot hear the guide, Lord, may I remember that I'm a pilgrim and not a tourist when I ask that person to be a bit more quiet. If someone takes a better seat or a more choice place, Lord, may I remember that I'm a pilgrim and not a tourist. If I find myself last in the waiting line, Lord, may I remember that I'm a pilgrim and not a tourist. If I should get a chance to help another person who always seems to be annoying me, Lord, may I remember that I'm a pilgrim and not a tourist. But Lord, especially let me remember that what I find objectionable in another is really what you oftentimes find objectionable in me. And let me remember this and forgive the other as you are continually forgiving me. Wow. There's a song that I learned as a young person called I'm a Stranger Here. Kind of goes like this. I am a stranger here within a foreign land. My home is far away upon a golden strand. Ambassador to be to realms beyond the sea. I'm here on business for my king. Anybody heard that? That's an old song. You heard it? Good. Yeah. So there are many remembrances, songs. People have written poems about this idea that we're on a pilgrimage. We don't have to worry about the things that are happening around us because God has designed them for our good. And He'll take us through. He wants to bring us home in the best way possible. And He's going to provide everything we need for our journey. For our journey. Don't let anyone distract you from or discourage you about your journey. Colossians 2:8 says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than Christ."
Right.
Now, many of you have heard of John Bunyan, who wrote, what was that book he wrote?
Pilgrim's Progress.
How many of you read it? Good one to read to your kids. He also wrote this poem. "Who would true valor see, let him come hither. One here will constant be, come wind, come weather. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim." And he's the one who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, right? "Whoso beset him round with dismal stories, but do themselves confound, his strength the more is. No lion can him fright, and with a giant fight, but he will have a right to be a pilgrim. Nor enemy nor friend can daunt his spirit. He knows he at the end shall life inherit. Then fancies fly away, he'll fear not what men say, and labor night and day to be a pilgrim. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." How many of you know that song? "My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." We're on a spiritual pilgrimage. Remember it every single day. And if we're in dire straits, something's problematic, just remember that God is with us through these journeys. And go back through this Psalm 84 and see all these things that God has provided us with. And think these thoughts as we go through our trials, that blessed are those whose strength is in you and who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have chosen us to live free in the freedom of Christ and not die in the fires of hell. Help us, Lord, as we live our lives in this community, to be able to share with others the testimony, actually, of what's on even our license tag, that there is freedom in Christ. And we thank you for the freedom that we have, Lord, in Christ. We thank you that you've set us on pilgrimage. You've offered it. Help us, Lord, in the difficult times, in the dark times, to remember where we're headed, what our destination is, what you're preparing for us, and that will help us along the way as we live our lives, as you train us and prepare us for life with you in eternity. Help us, Lord, to set our hearts on a pilgrimage.